Welcome to Your Cathedral Podcast, a podcast from the Cathedral Church of St. Luke and St. Paul in Charleston, South Carolina. For more information on our church, please visit yourcathedral.org.
Will you pray with me? Lord, we give you our hearts today and ask that you will enlighten our hearts with your eternal light and glory. And that with that light, we might see your face and know the depth, breadth of your love for us. Come, Holy Spirit, come now and fill this place, fill each place where we are gathered right now, Lord, and fill us to overflowing. And Lord, speak through me now that my words would be your words and your truth would be spoken, heard, and received deep in our hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I have a friend from seminary who used to greet me with the same question every time that we would meet up. He'd ask, "How's your heart?" And at first, this kind of was a bit of a disorienting question. I didn't know exactly how to answer that question. But eventually, I came to really value the fact that my heart was what interested my friend most. It was a question that showed that he was really interested, not in the surface version of me, but the real me. If you ask somebody, "How's your heart?" Well, that question goes right to the core of their status, their identity, like who they really are and how they really are. Now, normally what we do when we greet people is what we like to keep the questions and the conversation purely external, don't we? We like to kind of keep it on the sort of surface stuff, just the activities that we're up to, right? So we ask questions like, "What's up?" One time I asked a friend in England that question. I go, "What's up?" And he went, "I have absolutely no idea how to answer that question." Because it's not a really great question, is it? How's it shaking? What's happening? What's tricks? All we really want to know is, how are you doing? But if we ask, "How's your heart?" Well, you really want to know, how are you, the real you, being? How are you being? And that's what really matters. And so my friend would ask this question about my heart, and I'd have to kind of reflect on it. So am I lighthearted? Or am I heavy-hearted? Am I dealing with heartache, or am I heartbroken? Am I faint-hearted, or do I have courage, right? Courage, it comes from that root Latin word cor, which means heart, strong heart. Well, there are lots of ways that we could answer this probing question, but all of the ways one could possibly answer it, and of all those ways, there's one answer that I think is the most disheartening of all. And that would be to realize that one has lost heart. You know, it's not the brokenhearted that are actually the ones most to be pitied. Because that's like real feeling and real connection with something, isn't it? No. Heaven help me when I lose heart. And I'm disinterested, disconnected. And then perhaps all that's left are those external activities in life. Just going through the motions, doing our best to persevere and preserve this outer self. How are you doing? The answer, fine, but really busy. Conversation over, right? And we can look and see in the eyes that person has lost heart. And I was thinking on what Rob Sturdy preached last Sunday here. And if you weren't able to be with us, I encourage you to go on our podcast and listen to that sermon. Great sermon. And he was talking about being in the light in order that we might really see one another, see that other person, and how that is directly related to how we see God, or more accurately, how we are seen by God. And Rob talked about how God can always see us because he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, right? He's his own light. And when he sees us, no matter what the state of our heart might be, or those externals, he loves us. He loves us, and that should be heartening to us. And so following on from that, I think when one has lost heart, it really means that the light in that person's heart has somehow been extinguished, and the heart is darkened. And interestingly, when that happens, we often stay fixated out here on these external things. But it's this vicious cycle, right? Because the fixation on the externals is what so often extinguishes the light in our hearts. And so then we go down in the heart and it's dark and it's no good and we don't want to be there. And so then we go right back out to these externals and kind of remain out here. And so back and forth we go, and it just gets worse and worse. Stuck on the externals. This stuff out here, it's too hard, right? It's too painful. You might say it's too discouraging. You could define discouragement as the extinguishing of the light in one's heart. But these things out here, they happen, don't they? And they will happen. And again and again and again, they will happen. So how, in the face of all that, do we not lose heart? When we are discouraged, just plowing through life, diminished and disengaged from the things that mattered most to us in the past, where might the reigniting of the light in our hearts come from, even as the externals continue to be so hard? Well, the Apostle Paul might have something to say to us on this subject. You might know this already, but he was uniquely acquainted with external hardships. Listen to what he writes in chapter 11 of his second letter to the Corinthians. This is verses 23 and following. He writes, "I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant?" Good grief. I mean, that's a bit much, don't you think? And of course, the hardest part of it is his anxiety for all the churches. I can attest to that. You want to talk about a guy who had every reason to lose heart? Here he is. But open your Bibles to chapter 4 of this same letter and look at what Paul writes at the beginning and the end of that chapter. So, if you want to, we are going to be in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. You can find that on pages 965 and 966 of the Pew Bibles if you want to use one of those. Or if you have your own Bible, just open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So here's what he writes in this chapter, verse 1. He says, "Having this ministry," of course he just described to us, we kind of know what that ministry is now that we read what we read in chapter 11. "Having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." And then at the end of the chapter, verse 16, he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." I think another way you could state this is that we do not lose heart. Though there is much to extinguish the light coming from the outside, the light in our heart is being reignited day by day. Or to use Paul's exact words in the first part of this chapter, verses 5 and 6, he writes, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Hear this. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown where in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So not only does God see our face in his own light, it turns out that we can see his face in that same light. And when I say see, I mean see by the light in our hearts with the eyes of our hearts. So it's like seeing that which is unseen. So if the question is asked of us, how's your heart? And we can answer saying, I do not lose heart. In fact, my heart is shining out of darkness with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, what might that mean for us? If that's what's happening in here, what does that mean out here? Well, it means that all those external things that used to cause us to lose heart now become the very means by which we convey what Paul refers to as the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The glorious gospel. What are these external things that could distract us, could discourage us too? You know, what are those things that I'm talking about? Well, our frail bodies, yeah. Our fading belief, our fallacious vision, distorted, misguided. What about these frail bodies of ours? So, not long ago, one of my children told me I should start using a product that she saw advertised on television. And what was the product, you might ask? Just for Men Mustache and Beard Dye. Now, this child, who I love, was reminding me that this old body is just getting older. It is frail. It is getting more frail by the day, as if I needed reminding. And of course, it's not just our bodies, right? It's our minds. And with that comes this fading confidence, our slowing gait, our smaller dreams as we think that the window is closing, our deeper fears that come along with this diminishment. Excuse me, that's a hard word to say. See, my tongue is old. And, you know, it's not only those of us experiencing the effects of aging more acutely that are faced with this. All of us are aware of our frailty, aren't we? And we may think, I'm not much to look at, or we may think, I'm not much to listen to. I don't count for much. And so we lose heart because our bodies are frail. But Paul points out in verse 7 that the container isn't what has the power. And in fact, it is the very frailty of the container that makes clear where the power is to be found. Right? He writes, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The frailty of our body, our heart included, is real, right? We know that. We feel that. Think back to that quote I had in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from Paul. Paul is downright braggadocious about his frailty. He boasts in his weakness. This whole letter is just about him just like putting that out there. Like, look, folks, how lousy I am and how lousy all this stuff is around me and how hard it is and how inappropriate I am to be in this position, and yet I have this ministry. He knows he and all of us are fragile earthen vessels that cannot compare with God's eternal power. But let us not lose sight of the fact that we have this treasure of God's power, this eternal light in us, though we are jars of clay. We may be cracked and a bit leaky, but this is the container the Lord has chosen to carry His glorious power into the world. We have this ministry by the mercies of God, so we do not lose heart. And Jesus Himself is one who did have a frail body, if you recall. Well, He prefigured this for us. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, as the prophet describes the suffering servant Messiah, King. This way, he says that the Messiah had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, and no beauty that we should desire Him. And yet this unsightly one is the chosen one. And this only points to the eventual means of salvation for the whole world, which would be Jesus' hideous passion and ultimate death. As opposed to some gallant and triumphant earthly victory by some really hot, good-looking stud. We do not lose heart because our very frail bodies that are jars of clay are the containers that convey the treasure of the gospel. Paul writes that it is our frail bodies of death that communicate the death of Jesus, which is the really important part of Jesus. Think about what percentage of the gospel message is devoted to the way that the hero of the story suffers and dies. And that death of Jesus, that is the surpassing power by which the world is saved. His death is the love of God personified in all its fullness, and we are the recipients of that and the containers for that. Verse 10, we're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. And with that, we gain what Paul calls the spirit of faith. For the death of Jesus is what leads to the resurrection life of Jesus. Right? That which the devil and the enemies thought was the failure was actually the victory. And so as we are frail and kind of failing and screwing up here and there, that actually might just be the means by which the victory is made manifest. The death of Jesus is what leads to the resurrection life of Jesus, and this is what helps us not to lose heart with this fading belief that can happen when things get hard. And so Paul writes in verses 13 and 14, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. Now I know that there are those who lose heart because they have lost hope. But Paul points out that this is really just a case of fallacious vision, right? It's just not looking in the right direction or in the right way. We look at the wasting away of our outer selves, and that's where our vision stops, right there, and stays focused there. We're so fixated on that which is seen and is fading that we can't look at what's unseen and eternal. Our vision and our ability to understand the scale of things then just gets all out of whack. It's all misguided, misappropriated. We think these external visible things are so big and heavy and overwhelming, and so we lose heart, of course. But with the light of the glory of God shining brightly in our hearts, we can see these things for what they really are. They aren't heavy, they're light. They're not overwhelming, they're momentary. And they simply prepare us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. These external things are nothing but transient candy floss when compared to the solid, eternal substance of what we have unseen, but is so real, it's here in our hearts. We know it. These hearts, these jars of clay, hold a treasure, the gospel of the glory of Christ. So how's your heart? Be honest. How's your heart? Be honest, but don't lose heart. God is merciful. He shines in your hearts, and He shines from your hearts out of darkness. He entrusts His glory to your hearts. He allows you to carry the true hope of eternity even in your frail, wasting away hearts. He opens the eyes of your hearts to see clearly the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Praise God. And I pray based on this, your hearts will be in it. I think that's the thing that concerns me most, is I'm seeing more and more people in this church family and outside who I would say just seems like their heart's just not in it. Just not in it. We need your hearts to be in it. God longs for your hearts to be in it. And if you know those who seem to have lost heart, I pray as you believe this, you'll speak. You'll speak of what you believe and encourage them. Strengthen their hearts. Shine that light that's in you that it might shine in their hearts as well. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen.